Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Let's begin a reading in verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, in whose heart are the ways of them. You know, in all my years as a Christian, I can truly confess that few scriptures have so captivated my heart and my mind over the years as much as this 84th Psalm. Over the years, as being a Christian, I've merely gleaned from its blessed truths, gathering bits and pieces of great blessings. I remember a time in the Black Forest in Germany when my previous pastor and I went there for a few days to read scripture and pray. And I have to admit I enjoyed those times. And I'd walking through the Black Forest there, a beautiful summer day, and reading through Psalm 84, came across my mind again. For years I've looked at it, and from portions of it I'd always receive a blessing. And I'd always had a desire to preach more thoroughly on it. I don't know whether the Lord wasn't ready for me to do it or whether I was ready, but I've always admired this psalm. There's always been something about it that's attracted my attention and my heart more than many other scriptures or many other of the psalms. And now I believe God has graciously led me to kind of dwell on its text that we may all this morning and over the last week or two feast together on some of its great truths, because Psalms 84 is truly unique. I'm not saying all of Scripture isn't unique, but Psalm 84 is very unique, because I fear that there be few today who truly understand and appreciate the spirit of this 84th Psalm. You know, it was once known as the Pearl of Psalms. You know, the Jews would travel to Jerusalem yearly for a feast, for the Passover, for other things. And while they were traveling far to Jerusalem, it was a long way for some of them sojourners, some of them pilgrims. They would gather together, unite families together, and they would join together and sing this 84th Psalm as they were going to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God. There would be families all gathered around, and history says they would all be gathered around the campfires, and they'd all pull out Psalm 84. And they would begin to unifiedly sing Psalm 84. I don't know if you've ever heard the Psalms sung before, but a lot of the Presbyterian churches sing Psalms. They put it to music. And many of the conferences I attended in England were Presbyterian conferences, and it would be a cappella, and there would be like 400 to 450 Englishmen standing there singing with that accent the Psalms. I remember the first time I attended, I thought I died and went to heaven. Never heard anything more beautiful in all my life than that English accent, a cappella, 400 men singing the Psalms. It was amazing to me. But the Jews would sing the song because they were so happy that they could gather together in Jerusalem to worship God. And David expresses that here in this psalm. Just like he does in Psalm 122 when he said, I was glad when they said unto me. Not when I said, but when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was happiness and joyfulness in a unified worship. They looked forward to that. And that's why I say few understand this psalm, because so many today say simply, excuse me, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can worship God at home. You don't have to go to church to worship God. You can worship God anywhere. And I say that's true. But I'm telling you, the Scriptures declare there's something about when we gather together as God's people. On that designated day, in that designated place that we have sanctified by prayer and by worship and by preaching to worship God. And I'm so saddened that so much of that joy has been all but gone or missing in Christians. To meet in the house of God, to hear the Word of God preached, to hear the Christians worship and praise God, sing praises unto Him, to hear their prayers, and to listen to the melody, it's just amazing for a child of God. It should be. And why not when the Lord says this in Psalm 87 about the church, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. That's a picture of the church more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That's what makes it wonderful. And you know what adds, if you really believe you could add more to Psalm 84, but you know what even adds more to this pearl of Psalms? It's the unmerited mercy and grace of God which leads this Psalm. Look in your Bible there in Psalms. Do you have the heading under Psalm 84 like you've got verse 1, the prophet longing? Do you have that in your Bible? Well, if you look down to the bottom of that, most Bibles have it. Listen to what it says. To the chief musicians upon Gittith. You have that in your Bible? Okay. A psalm for or of the sons of Korah.
I have it preceding.
Okay. Everyone's got that? It says here, a psalm for or of the sons of Korah. Do you know who the sons of Korah were? Do you remember Korah? You remember the man that stood up to Moses and said, "You're not the only leader. We're not going to follow you." And Moses said, "Well, let's all appear tomorrow before the presence of God and let's find out who's on God's side." Long story short, what happened the next day is God opened up the earth and swallowed all the sons of Korah, his entire family, except a few. You follow me? This psalm was written by the children of the man whom God and his family swallowed up in the earth. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter where you are or what condition you're in. The grace of God can bring you to sing His mercy and His grace no matter what condition you're in. These were the sons of Korah. And yet God enables them to write one of the most glorious psalms you'll ever find in Scripture. That blesses my heart. You cannot be too wretched, too wicked, too vile for the mercy and grace of God. That God could take these children, instead of them being bitter towards God or resentful towards God, God can take the very children of the family God destroyed and raise them up to write a song that is above many other psalms, shows the mercy and grace of our God. You can never fall too far away from God. His mercy is new every morning. Book of Lamentations. Proverbs, Psalm 40, David said it best when he said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." Beloved, none sing the praises of God with more heart and compassion than those who have been brought up out of a horrible pit and miry clay. None are so vile, so sinful, so wretched that God can't put a new song in their heart. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure you thought of this as well before we get to this third and final blessing of those who dwell in the house of God, but you know, sometimes because of my past life, the wicked, vile life I led, and the remnants of that sin that are still in here. You follow me? Sometimes I envy those who said, you know, I didn't grow up in a place like that or atmosphere like that. My life wasn't too bad. I didn't do any really bad things. I was an okay kid. Sometimes I envy those because I thought that if I could just not have those memories of all the vile, wicked things I'd done. But I'm telling you, you know what that does for you on one point? It just reassures you of the infinite mercy and grace of God that He could save such a wretch like me. And I'm not saying everyone has to go through a bad experience before they get saved. But beloved, I'm telling you, none sing the praises of God more loudly, more compassionately, and with more heart than those who've been brought up out of a horrible pit. It's like, God, you allowed me to sing praises to you in spite of the life that I lived before I knew you. The things I did, the sins I committed, the wretched crimes against God. And yet now you enable me to sing praise to God. You put a new song in my heart. That is glorious. Amen? That's why it's good to know this psalm was for the sons of Korah. The mercy and grace of God is amazing. Psalms 84:5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now watch this. In whose heart are the ways of them, or in whose heart are in the ways to Zion, the highway to Zion, in his pilgrimage. In other words, in whose heart is the way which leads to heaven. Whose heart? Beloved, this is the third and most glorious beatitude or characteristic of those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Remember, these are characteristics. These are beatitudes of those who dwell in the house of God. Not the occasional visitors of church. Not those who come on Easter and Christmas. Not those who pop in and out occasionally. But those that are constantly, enduringly dwelling, abiding in the house of God. They're giving blessings that those who just occasionally visit miss out on. And that's why it's so important to understand this 84th Psalm. And this third one is the most important of the first three. The first one is they'll still be praising God no matter what happens in life. They can praise God through everything. The second of it is that they would, verse 4 or verse 5, they find their strength in God. That's the second of them. His strength is in God. The third one is the most glorious, and it manifests the most evidence of someone who dwells in the house of God. Why? Because he loves walking in the way which leads to heaven. You know, there's a great difference. Listen to me very closely. We have a lot of these in this world today. There's a great difference between those who profess their desire for heaven. Oh yeah, I want to go to heaven. I love Jesus. Here's a little post I'll put on Facebook. I love Jesus and I love the Bible. There's a difference between someone who merely professes the desire for heaven and those who have a heart to persevere in the way which leads there. There's a huge difference. I know a lot of people that flippantly say, oh yeah, I love God and I'm going to heaven. And they're living in sin, they're living in vehement sin, they're living in habitual sin, and they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, but oh, I'm going to heaven, I love God. No, that's not the description of the individual here. The dweller in the house of the Lord is someone whose heart is in the way. They persevere in the way which leads there. And you know what? If you're a true believer this morning and you're walking that straight and narrow way and you're trying and you're striving to serve God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Lord said the way is straight and narrow and few there be that find it. Strive, He said, to enter in. For many there shall be who seek to enter in, but only few shall find it. Why does He put that emphasis on that? Because everybody wants to go to heaven. Ask anybody, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, who don't want to go to heaven? Can you persevere in the way that leads to heaven? What do you mean persevere? Can you live the Christian life? Can you live a committed, totally committed life to God? Why do people believe that God's going to accept a half-hearted, lukewarm, non-committed devotion to Him. Why do they believe that that's going to allow them entrance into heaven? If the righteous are scarcely saved, Peter said, and he uses the word scarcely, where shall the ungodly appear? In our text here, we see that those who dwell in the house of God, they not only persevere, but they have a heart to persevere in that. Why do you say that? I've been a Christian over 37 years. I've been pastoring over 28 years. And this past few weeks, I've been really burdened by the fact of thinking about all the people I've met over the years. And you might be able to bear witness with me. And I'm giving God the grace. I wouldn't be here if it were not for the grace of God. Don't misunderstand this. But I've come to realize there are many who began their walk with Christ very strongly and with a lot of heart, who now I know by fact have either halted on the way, stopped walking with Christ, or completely dropped out of living the Christian life. They didn't persevere. They didn't endure. And it has nothing to do with us when it comes to enduring. Again, in our text here, it's those who dwell in the house of God who find their strength in the Lord. It's all of the Lord. But do you know of some people, think about your past, who at one time showed a strong love and devotion for Christ and Christianity, and to today you find them not even going to church, not even reading their Bible, not even having anything to do with God, and they just kind of drop to the wayside. And it saddens your heart. But those that dwell in the house of the Lord, those who are continually there, the Bible says, their heart shall be in the way that leads to Zion. I like what Psalm 57 said. It says, my heart is fixed. Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed. That means firm, resolute. Listen to this. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. He says it twice. I will sing and give praise. It's a fixed heart. It's a resolute heart. It's a firm, established heart. That's the dweller of those who dwell in God's house. That's what they are blessed with. I'm talking about those who continually go to church. I'm talking about the assembling of the saints, the singing of the songs, the prayers we put up together, the preaching of God's Word. All of those things combined together enable us to have a heart for the way. You see how important church is? I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. Look at this. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in me, in whose heart is the ways to them. The ways to Zion. You see, these are the blessings which come from those who dwell in the house of God. Paul asked the Galatians this. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Who drove you back? That's what he asked the Galatians. You know, we can run well and then stop. And then I'm thinking back to 1981. Hard for me to remember last week. In those first few services I went to, and they brought in an old guy, back at that time was old, he's probably not around now, brought him in from America's military church, and he's preaching on the promised land. And his message, I still remember this day, he said, we need Christians like those 12 spies that can go into the promised land and come back. And tell them it's worth it. Like those two spies, actually. We need Christians like that. Go into the promised land. Learn something about Christ. Come back and tell the young believers, it's worth it. It's worth it. We need to go. I still remember that message. He had a son that had some kind of disease, bone disease. Paralyzed. Constantly in the hospital. Constantly doctor bills. I mean, the man and his wife were really run ragged. He was a preacher. And what really caught me the most was, in spite of all that, his determination to love and serve God, even with all those troubles and trials. And that's motivated me to this day. Somewhat, 30 years later, not more. That's what we need. We need Christians who dwell in the house of God to go out into this world and show the people our hearts in the way to heaven. I can face anything. There's no hardship. There's no difficulty. There's no pain. There's no affliction. There's no trial too great for me to face because my heart's in it. If your heart's not in it, you might as well give up now. And I'm trying to do you a favor. If your heart's not in it, don't even try. Because you won't get very far at all. You'll meet with discouragement, disappointment, and you'll just keep quitting. You'll find reasons to quit. You'll get tired spiritually. You'll want to give up. You won't have the energy. Your heart's got to be in it. And you know how our hearts stay in it? When we come here every Sunday and we sing praises and we pray and we hear the preaching of the Word of God and it strengthens us, encourages us, convicts us, humbles us, exalts us, does all of that. Because our hearts don't stay strong all the time, do they? I mean, some weeks you're dragging yourself spiritually through the church doors. Like, this has been one hard... This was the last week was a hard week for me. I mean, man, I'm telling you, I thought God's humbled me before and I'm sure He can do greater deeds, but it's been a hard week. I crawled through that church door this morning just thankful to be here. We have weeks like that. But then we come here and the Word of God is opened. We begin to sing praises. We begin to enjoy one another's fellowship. Even a little fun on the way to church. Two dogs, an eagle, and a skunk. You won't know what that means, but it's just a small thing. And it just strengthens your heart. So when we go back out, we're ready to face another week. I don't know about you, but on Sundays when I leave here, I'm ready to face another week. Just to be with you, fellowship with you, sing praises with you, join in worship with you, to hear and preach the Word of God. It strengthens me for another week. I do. I literally live week by week. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. This is what the dwellers in the house of the Lord are blessed with. The occasional visitors, they might get some of this in proportion because God's merciful. They might get drops of blessings. But we get showers of blessings when we come continually, all the time. Look at Psalm 63:1. Psalm 63:1. I'm hurrying here. Psalm 63. Some text I begin preaching on, and I'm brokenhearted when I come to the end of it. I just want it to keep going. Psalm 63:1. Listen to this. O God, Thou art my God. Listen to the psalmist, David here. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What do you think that's a picture of? The world. In a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. I long for thee. What's he long for? Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. What's he saying? Out in the world it gets dry. It gets thirsty. There's no water. Man, when I come into the sanctuary, I see your power and your glory, and I'm reminded anew that you're God. You say, can I get that in my private devotions? Yeah. Can I get that when I read privately? Yes, and you shouldn't give up that devotion, that private time with God. It's necessary. But you know what? Those private times with God, like I said last week with the singing, when you bring in your trials and your need for forgiveness and your heart of thankfulness and we sing praise and it's like a symphony, it's the same thing with all the things we experience. Your private devotions with God, your time with God throughout the week, those times when you're on your knees interceding for others, you're praying, you're reading Scripture, God's revealing something, you bring that into the house of God and your brother and sister is doing the same things, and all that private worship, that thankfulness and praise comes together in a unified of heart and spirit and praises and worships God for everything He is. I'm telling you, there's something mystical and good about gathering together as Christians in church. What we do out there every day of the week, what we experience with God, the world, Satan, sin, ourselves, what we do with that experience, we bring it in here. And I'm telling you, it's a sweet symphony before God. And what encourages our hearts to be in the way and continue in the way is when the Word of God is then preached and is driven deep into our hearts and our souls. And we get up and we're ready to go back out. The fields of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields. Before we reach the heavenly fields. That's a dweller in the house of God. And the fruits of it are seen in Psalm 84. And I'm going to just quickly go through this because I know time is fleeting. I wish I had another hour. I want you to see this. The fruits of it are seen here. Look at verse 6. Verse 5 said, "In whose heart are the ways of him," watch this, "who passing through the valley of Baca," or Becca, "the valley of tears," he's passing through it. When the Jews would travel far to Jerusalem, they would cross a very parched land with no water. Water was essential. We've never had to experience that, but I'm telling you from what I've read, and it's not personal experience, when you run out of water in a dry and thirsty land, parched land, water is the most essential thing in life. It's more essential than gold. And they would have to pass through this barren, parched land with no water. But I want you to notice he's passing through it. He's not standing still. He's not halting. He's not wavering. Those whose heart is in the way is passing through. And he passes through the valley of Becca. And it says here that he turns it into, he makes it a well. That dried and parched land becomes a well to that sojourner passing through there. Watch, continue what he says. "The rain also filleth the pools." He passes through. God's grace makes that valley of Becca a well and a place to drink water. Listen to me. Now, think about this. I'm going to go a little deep here. I'm going to throw out a little meat for you to chew on. What he's talking about is those times when spiritually everything appears to be dried and parched. God turns that into a well of water, and that rain he's talking about is tears. In other words, he's saying, in your most difficult and trying time, when you weep, those same tears you're weeping will be the water that fills your soul. The Bible said God puts our tears into a bottle. I love how God works things out. That which causes us grief, he says, is the same thing that's going to feed us, nourish us spiritually. And only God can do that. Weeping may endure for what? A moment, a night. But what comes in the morning? The joy cometh in the morning. Lamentation says his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. It's fresh. We don't live on past mercies, though we're encouraged by them. We live on daily fresh mercies. Why? Because we're dwellers in the house of God. They continue to grow in strength. Look in verse 7 and I'll close this out. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You see, they pass through the valley. Their dry land is made a well of water to drink and fulfill and fill their souls. They go from strength to strength. They go from moment to moment. They go from day by day and with each passing moment. God said in Deuteronomy, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." I like that. He didn't say as the month, as the year. He says, as thy days. You know, sometimes we get worried about next Tuesday, next Friday. God says, no, don't worry about that. Think about today. What's today? What do you have today? Well, it's Sunday. That's a good start. Where have you been? I've been to church. Oh, that's a wonderful start. Was you blessed? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's getting better all the time. What are you going to do this afternoon? I'll go home, sit with my family, enjoy some mealtime. Rest and relax. This is the day of rest. All right. Sunshine. All right. You got a roof over your head? Yes. Got clothes in your back? Yeah. Be happy. Godliness with contentment Right? That is to be blessed. Day by day. And with each passing moment. These great blessings that we've looked at belong to those who dwell in the house of God. May we ever be dwellers. Whenever you feel, listen to me, whenever you feel, I just don't quite feel up to going to church. There might be something bigger and greater behind that. And you better think about it a little bit. Because that might be the one service you needed and you missed. I know we've all been there. I have. Went to church. Thinking, man, I really didn't need to. But after church, I was glad. You know what? I was glad I was there. I was glad I was there because I'd have missed that. And I know we got it on the internet. We can get it on CD, but it's never the same as actually being there amongst believers. Amen? There's just something about it. Beloved, here is where we're blessed. Here is where we get the strength to keep praising God. Here is where we find our strength in Him. Here is where our hearts are put in the way of Zion. Here we learn to persevere. Here we learn to keep going. Because here we strengthen one another. We encourage one another. We edify one another. We love one another. And the preaching of the Word of God just binds all that together. And the praise and the worship adds God's blessings. We are blessed. There is not a God like unto our God. Who is a God like unto our God? Merciful, gracious, kind, loving, long-suffering, patient, holy, righteous. Hallelujah, what a God we have. Amen?
Amen.
Remember Psalm 84. I wish I could have dwelt another week in there, but felt that's what the Lord wanted us to have. And it's been years in seeing this, and it's been a great blessing. May God bless us all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You how it challenges us. Lord, how it sets our hearts and affections in the right direction. Help us, Lord, we pray, to have fixed hearts like the psalmist. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I pray that, Lord, You'd inspire us now, strengthen us to go through this week. Lord, bless us as we all go our separate ways. May You be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. We love You and thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Fellowship. No Sunday school.